We begin the current daf mesech this even daf tzadi ches. We begin on the bottom of tzadi zayin and beis, two lines up in the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara begins to explain the two cases of our Mishnah. That is what we spoke about. If somebody's reading a sefer, and again, in the times of the Gemara, this far more like scrolls. So someone's reading a sefer on a skufa, which is basically an elevation. It's like basically what you would consider a porch between, let's say, Rosh HaYachid and the Rosh HaSarabim. However, the person's on the skufa, a sefer rolls out of his hand. So he said, no matter where it rolls down to, as long as he's still holding on to it, he can roll it back up and there's no problems involved. Whereas we found in the Mishnah, if he's reading it on a gag, which is a different halacha than on the skufa, then it would make a difference depending where it falls, where it lands. There was a machlekes regarding if he would be allowed to roll it in or not. So our Gemara begins questioning this first case. Hayi skufa. This is skufa. Again, this type of elevation, this platform, this porch, that we said you're allowed to roll it back in. Hey chidami, what exactly is the character of this iskufa? What dimensions does it have to define what type of an area it is? Ilem iskufa rishos hayachid, if you say that it's an iskufa that has the status of rishos hayachid, that is, it has a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim. So anything that has that, those dimensions, that elevation and that width, has halacha rishos hayachid. Vikamo rishos rabim, and in front of this is skufa where it fell down into, where he's rolling it up from, is rishos rabim. And of that, the Mishnah tells us that although the other edge of the sefer that rolled down, the scroll, is in rishos rabim, still he can roll it back to himself, which is the rishos hayachid. And v'loy gazrin on dilmanafel, and consequently what the halacha that's being said in the Mishnah is telling us, that we don't make a gzeru, we don't make a decree that maybe it's going to fall out totally from his hand. Now we're talking about that he's holding it. However, maybe we should make a gzeira that he can't roll it in from Rishas Ram to Rishas Yachid, because maybe it might fall. Obviously, the Tana, whoever this is in our Mishnah, is not saying that. We don't make such a gzeira. And that Va'asa Latuy, and that he might come to bring it in, where thereby he'll be chai for Chiv Chatzis of Haitzav, because it's going to be in the Rishas Ram, back into where he is, this Iskuf, which has Allah Rishas Yachid. This Tana, this anonymous Tana of the beginning of a Mishnah, obviously holds that we're not making gzeira, although if he would let go of it totally and then bring it back, it would be a Issa Deiraisa. We don't make a gzeira that maybe this might happen, that you might totally drop it, and since you're still holding on to it, you could roll it back. So we continue on the top of Tzadik Chesem and Alf. Samani, who is the Tana of a Mishnah that does not make this gzeira that you might come to Issa Deiraisa if you totally drop it because of the cover of the sefer that is that fell down there that's lying in disgrace? Reb Shimon, towards the end of the Mishnah, Dama, that he says, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus, that he says, regarding the later case of the Gag, he says, anything that's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, which is what this is, since you're holding on to it, it's only a suspicion, a suspect, maybe, in other words, maybe this might happen, so we don't allow you even when you're holding on to it, because you might come to Issa D'Raisa, that is only Issa D'Rabbanan, that will be overridden in the case of when this Kisvei HaKodesh, when this holy Svarim, that we're not gonna let you pull it back in spite of this possible Gezer D'Rabbanan. As Rashi explains, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion mentioned in our Mishnah was that as long as it's just even a needle width from the ground, then it didn't land, then you could roll it back. Where there wouldn't apply any gzeira whatsoever, because then it's not similar to falling, which is, of course, if it touched, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's going to be aser, because then we'd make gzeira when he is holding onto it, maybe when he's not holding onto it, but that would only apply when it's totally on the ground. So therefore, but if it is totally on the ground, then he would consider it, yes, aser, because of that gezeira. However, here in the beginning of the Mishnah, regarding the skufa, where we don't say that it didn't come within a needle from the ground, it maybe even touched the ground. Still, we say that it's mutter. Again, that must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara asks, if the beginning of our Mishnah, which talks about the case of iskufa, then later on we have the Shlivu Machlikis regarding Gag, that the beginning is Reb Shimon, Eima Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah, which has this machlekes regarding from the Gag, from the roof. Behuda, Reb Yehuda says, Afila ein mesulik min ha'aretz ela maloi hachot, even if there's only the little space of a needle or a thread, whatever it is, it didn't totally touch the ground, it's even a little bit ear space, then goyletz, then you can roll it back to yourself. Reb Shimon said, Afila ba'aretz atzma goyletz. Reb Shimon said, even if it touches the ground, doesn't make a difference, there's nothing that's oimid b'fnei kisvei kodesh, if at most that it is a gzeir d'rabbanan, which is that since you're holding on to it, there's no problem about rolling it back, even if it touches Rishas Ram according to everybody. It's just maybe some will be geyser that if we let you bring it back when it's touching, when you might totally drop it, then you'll be... So therefore we don't let you take it back at all. So therefore, the difficulty is, Reish Shabbos Sefer Reb Shimon. It comes out that the beginning of the Mishnah, which talks about the case of a skufa, is Reb Shimon, as we just shown, that it must be Reb Shimon, because according to all the other opinions, it won't be totally mutter if it touches, in the case of how we're describing that the skufa is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, in front of it is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if it totally touches the ground, all the other opinions would say we grazer when you're holding onto it, up to when you're not holding onto it. Yet Mitzias Rabbi Yehuda. But the middle opinion is Rabbi Yehuda. And that seems to be difficulty, because if Reb Shimon saying his opinion, why is he cutting it up? Say it in one contiguous halacha, and here at the beginning is Reb Shimon, and then it goes to Reb Yehuda, and goes back to Reb Shimon. Why does he do that? That seems to be difficult. And then the Gemara says, Reb Yehuda, in yes, Reisha, say Reb Shimon, it's yes, Reb Yehuda. That is exactly how it is. The beginning and the end is Reb Shimon, as we showed that the end is Reb Shimon's opinion, which it says his name. And the beginning must be also Reb Shimon, because the skuv is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and what's in front of it is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And yet we're not concerned, even though it totally touched it, because no one makes any discrepancies in that first case, whether it touches or it doesn't touch. So even if it touches, you're allowed to pull it back. Must be like Reb Shimon that says it doesn't make a difference. We're not geyser, even though it might come to Issa Deraisa, if it totally dropped it, he's not concerned because of Kizvei Kodesh. So those are both Reb Shimon's opinion. And the middle is Reb Yehuda. Rabbi says no. You could even say that the entire Reisha is really Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon only comes towards the end. But the difficulty was, if it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, but then you have the challenge where he says if it were to touch, he only says it didn't touch because there's a little space that it didn't touch, but if it totally touched, he would be concerned regarding when you have the iskufa Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and here's Rosh Hashanah Ram, that you might come to be Abisa Deraisa. However, Hacha be iskufa hanedresses askin. What we're talking about is an iskufa, this elevation that people trample on. That is, you're right, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but it's trampled on. And that is, people from the public domain are always walking over this area. And since people are always walking there, there's a lot of disgrace to the Kisvei HaKadosh, to the Sefer that's rolled out. And Mishum Bizyon, Kisvei HaKadosh Rabban, because of this big disgrace to the Holy Savarim, therefore the Rabbanan permitted it. And that is, they permitted to roll back to himself, because although by the case of the Gog, by the roof, that Rabbi Yehuda argued on Rabbi Shimon and did not allow a person to go ahead and roll it back, even though there's a bazillion of Kisvei HaKadosh, that's why Rabbi Shimon permits you to pull it back, it's not such a disgrace when it's rolling down from the roof versus this case of the Iskufa. Because over there, people are not trampling on the space of where it's coming down from the roof. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it actually lands in Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to pull it back to yourself. But in this case of the Iskufa, he agrees that since, ultimately, the person is still holding on to it, and at most, the whole Isser, even when it touches the ground, is only Isser D'Rabbanan, here he was not Geyser, which was similar to what Rabbi Shimon says regarding Gog. It's just Rabbi Yehuda argues by the roof, it's not such a disgrace. Here by the Iskufa, although it's the same halacha in the sense, that both Gog and Iskufa are Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and in front is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so what's the difference in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that there he says that if it touches the ground by the Gog, then you cannot pull it back, and here you could, it's because here it's more disgraceful, because here people are constantly stepping on it, and if you're going to leave it there, it's going to be really disgraceful. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Rabbanah would permit it because of Bizayin Kisvei HaKadosh, and therefore it's not Reisha B'Sefer Reb Shimon and Mitzias Rabbi Yehuda. The whole beginning is even Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But now the Gemara asks on Rabbah's interpretation. Esav Abaya. Abaya asks from a Braisa, which is discussing the case of when you're reading under the Iskufa, and then it falls out towards the Rosh Hashanah in front of it. The Braisa differentiates. Toich Dalad Amis, if it's still within four Amis, and that is the Sefer did not totally roll out past an area of four Amis towards the ground, then Goyle Etzlev, then the Braisa says you can roll it back. Chutzadal, if already rolled out of four Amis of where the Iskufa is, then Hoifcha Aleksav, then you have to turn it over on the writing and you cannot pull it back. Now, the question is that Abai is asking, based on the interpretation of Rabbah, V'yamrit b'iskupa nidres askin, if you're telling me that it's talking about a case of a iskupa that is trampled on by the masses, so mali toich dalad amas, mali chutz la'arba amas, what would be the difference to differentiate if it rolled out of an area of four amas or within four amas? And that is, at most, again, this case is really a shavus, it's a drabon, because the person's still holding on to it. So what is the difference if you're saying it goes out more than four amas from where he is, and therefore it's four amas in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Or when it doesn't go out of four amas, and the only problem would be to bring it in from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Iskufa, which is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Either way, the reason why you're permitting it, let's say when it doesn't go past Dalet Amas, is because since he's holding on to it, and this bezayin, there's a disgrace to it, even according to Yehuda, you wanted to say that he permits it, because of the major disgrace of people trampling the skufa. So they were just like you permit to bring in from Rishus Aram to the skufa, which is exactly the case that we're talking about, that we had assumed up until now, and definitely when it's less than Dalai Lama's. So therefore here also, according to your interpretation of what the case of a skufa is, we should be permitting it even falls out more than Dalai Lama's, and even though you're going to be transporting it 4 Amas in Rishus Aram, because again, you have to remember that it's Oigdin B'yadoi. He's holding on to it. There is no real issa of being maver dalar amis b'shus ram, because he's holding on to it. There is no true hoitza when it's still in your grasp, on your grip over here in Rishus Yachad. So at most, it's a shvus, it's issa d'rabbanan. Now, you're not concerned about the issa d'rabbanan from hoitza, in other words, hachnas, bringing from Rishus Ram to Rishus Yachad. So what should be the difference? If it's more than dalar amis and you have maver dalar amis b'shus ram, it's essentially the same issa of hoitza. So what should be the difference if it's like you're saying, it's talking about a case of that it's a skufa of Rishus Yachad, and the reason why we permitted it, although it's coming from Rishus Ram to Rishus Yachad, just like the case of the Gag, because of a bezayin, here also it's the same bezayin, and therefore since it's at most a shvus rabbanan, we should permit it, even more than dalar amis, which would be maver dalar amis b'shus ram, were he to totally drop it. So therefore, Elam Abay says a different pshat, not like how we had assumed up until now from the beginning of the Gemara. And that it's Hacha B'Iskupa Karmelis Askin. What we're discussing is that this Iskupa, this elevation, is not a Rishus Yachad. And that is, it's a Karmelis that, although it has a width of 4 Tvachim, however, it does not have a height of 10 Tvachim. And therefore, since it's a Karmelis, and it is, as we had said before, Rishus Haram Ma'veres Lefana, and the Rishus Haram is going in front of this Iskupa, which is a Karmelis. And the explanation is as follows. And this is how we understand the Braisa too. Toich Dalar Amis, if it fell out within the area of 4 Amis, it didn't go more than 4 Amis into Rishus Haram. The Inafala Maisila, because even were it to fall, and then he would bring it from the Rishus Haram back to the Iskufa, Lo'osa Dechiv Chatas. Even if he wouldn't be holding on to it, which is that it would fall into the Rishus Haram, and then he would bring it to the Karmelis, he wouldn't be chayiv a chatas, because again, a karmelis is not a biblical domain. So at most, even if you were to be over when you would totally drop it and bring it back in, you wouldn't be chayiv a chatas. So surely rabbanan. So therefore, over here where you are holding on to it, the rabbanan says muta even like a tchila, because there's no reason to be geyser, because even were you to totally drop it, since again we're explaining it's a skufa of a karmelis, you anyways wouldn't be chayiv a chatas to be over on the issa d'oraisa. However, and this is where the Braisa qualifies and says, Chutz l'arba amas, but if it would fall out of more than dalar amas of the skupa, the imaisile, that then if you were to bring it, also the chiv chatas, you could come to chiv chatas. In other words, if you would totally drop it, then you would be carrying it. You'd do havara, dalar amas in Rishus Harabim. So therefore, in our case, le'sherli rabbanan, when you are holding on to it, they said that it's not muta, at least like a tchila, again, based on this gezerah rabbanan, that were you to drop it, then you might come to be over on the issa d'oraisa. So that's how Bai resolves this, and he says that we're talking about a skufa of a karmelis, not a rishus yachad, and that's why it's different than the case of the gag, and that's why it's permitted within dalar amis, but more than dalar amis, it would not be, because then you would come to an issa d'oraisa of transporting a dalar amis in rishus rab. On this, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if it's the way Abaye just explained this, so Teich Dalar Amis Nami Nigzer, then even, how do we understand the case of the Braise? Even within Dalar Amis, according to Rabbi Huda's opinion, that he says not like Rib Shimon, as we find by the later case of the Mishnah, of the case of the Gag, of the roof, where he says that we are Gezer Shvus even by Kisvei HaKadosh, we should make a Gezer even within Dalar Amis. And why is that? Because Dilma, maybe it will totally fall out of his hand, and then he's going to come to transport it from Rishus Harabim. And although we said that's not a problem because it's not carrying 4 amas in Rishus Haram, and at most you're taking it to Karmelis, but maybe Ma'ayil Mishus Haram L'Shus HaYachid, he might come to go ahead and bring it with his feet into his house through the Iskufa, and then he'll ultimately be transporting it from although not 4 amas in Rishus Haram, and although no issa to the Iskufa itself, but you're taking it with this journey from Rishus Harabim all the way to your home, which will be the Issa of Itzah from Rishus Harabim to Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, there should still be reason for concern and not to allow someone to roll it up, even within Dalar Amis of the Iskufa. So then the Gemara says, V'chitem, and if you're going to say, Kivin de mafsakas karmelis leslamba, since along this journey, from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Yachad, the Iskufa is in the way, which is a karmelis, and therefore there's no Isser Haitzah from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Yachad, because you're stopping in an area that is not a biblical domain on the way. But Vama Rava says, if someone is transporting an object from the beginning of Dalar Amis to the end of Dalar Amis, which is the Issa of Haitzah on Shabbos, V'hiviru derech olav. And in the process of transporting it to Dalai Lama's in Rosh Hashanah, he went and took it over his head. And that is, he had done the Akira in Rosh Hashanah. And on the way of transporting a Dalai Lama's, he took it over his head and then put it down at the end of Dalai Lama's. The halach, he said, in spite of that, his chayv is going to be liable. Now, although the airspace, that when he takes it over his head, is a makom patur because it's too high, anything over 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah is not considered Rosh Hashanah domain, it's considered makom patur, and it doesn't have the width of and of Dalad. So we see that since it didn't land in the makom patur, right? He took it in the journey through the makom patur, through this exempt area over his head, but still that won't exempt him from the isser of havar dalam in Rosh Hashanah, because it's only where it lands where will be a role in defining if it's a makom patur or not. So therefore here also, since it didn't land in the iskufa, although that it was stepped on through the process of taking it from Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but he didn't stop there actually to rest, and therefore we're back to the question, we should make a gzeira of even of atu, in other words, when you're holding on to it, that you might drop it, even when it is within Dalid Amis of the Iskufa, because you might come to transport it from Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is your house, through the Iskufa. And although you're going through the Makom Patur of the Iskufa, at least on a biblical standpoint, because Karmelis is only a rabbinic domain, but still, that's what the halacha that we had quoted from Rava, that he says that even if you take it through an exempt area, as long as you didn't stop there, one will still be chayiv, and therefore we should be suspect of that, even with the Dalad Amis. So now the Gemara gives two answers. You want to know we're not concerned for the case you just said, even within Dalad Amis, that you might take it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because we're talking about iskufa rucha. We're talking about a long iskufa, a long porch, so to speak, which has a large width from the area of Rosh Hashanah until he finally gets to his house. That even if we were to suspect that this might happen and to be geizer, that it might totally fall out of his hand, you still will not come to Achiv Chatas. Why? Because on his journey, going from Rosh Hashanah all the way to his house, he's going to remember, he's going to stop on the Iskufa, and then he'll resume taking his journey to his house, and therefore he'll never come to a possibility of Haitzah from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because he's going to realize on this long journey, hey, wait, I'm taking it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it's so long, and therefore he'll stop, which will ultimately not make him be chayv chatas. So therefore, since there's no possibility of him coming to chayv chatas, at least it's not in the feasibility of suspicion, and therefore that's why if it's within Dalad Amis, we were not geizer, and you could pull it back, and we're not cheshish for this iser of possibly being over on Hitzav from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The Ibaisema, second approach to Gemara says, is lo'ilim b'skufa she'in arucha. No, we're talking about a regular skufa, that's not so long. Now, so why aren't we cheshish that you might come to do what we had just said, that you might come to pick it up in Shas Rabim and bring it through the skufa to Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Because v'stam kisvei kodesh iyunim me'ayin b'hu. Now, regular svarim, people generally, they browse, they look at them. And therefore, when you're going to pick it up in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and you're going to get to the skufa, you're going to stop for a second in an area that's a kamalist, and you're going to look at it. And then, umanachlu, then you're going to put it down in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So therefore, that's another svara why you're not going to come to go directly from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Again, the first approach was because it's too long and you're going to remember and therefore you're going to stop. Second approach says, no, the reason why you're going to stop is just because that is what people do. They pick up the kids because they look at it, see what it's all about, and what's the manuscript, and therefore you're going to be stopping in the Carmelis, and that's why when you're finally going to go back to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid and bring it in there, it's not going to be a direct transfer from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So on this second Pshat, the Gemara asks, wait a second. Although people stop and they look at it, but v'aleichish dilma, we should be suspect that maybe, let's say this, what we're concerned about, that it's going to fall totally into the Rosh Hashanah, and the person's going to pick it up. And maybe, me'ayin b'hu b'Rosh Hashanah rabim. So when it totally falls up, see, right, people pick up and look at it. But maybe he's going to look at it when he's still in the Rosh Hashanah rabim. And then, v'ayilahu b'hedil Rosh Hashanah yach, and then he'll go straight from the Rosh Hashanah Rabim to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and he's not going to stop in this kufa whatsoever. So therefore, according to this second shot, there should be reason for concern that although you're going to stop and look at it, but he might do that actually when he's still in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and then you might come to be over the Haitzah, and therefore we should be chayshish even when you drop something, and even though you're still holding on to it within Dalad Amis because of the concern that you might totally drop it and then bring it from the Rosh Hashanah Rabim all the way straight to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the Gemara says, you're right, according to this Teretz. However, Hamani, who is the Tana that says this halacha, that we're not concerned for such a case? Ben Azahi, it's Ben Azahi. that he says that walking is like stopping, and that is every step you take, when you land that step, it's like you stopped and then you started again. So therefore, there's no reason to be geyser in this type of a case when it's less than taramas, because even if the whole thing would fall and you'd come to bring it in, just by virtue of walking through the iskufa, it's like you were amid in the karmelis, as if you stopped and you stood there, and therefore there's no feasibility of coming to achiv chatas, and that's why we weren't geyser. But then the Gemara asks, okay, that's if you walked. But v'dilma zarg luhu mizrak, we should be chayshish of a different concern. Maybe you're going to throw it from Rishus Rabbim into your home, and thereby being chayiv, even according to Ben Azai. Dami Riechen, the Riechen says in the first parak of Masech Deshab and Navav, Maid Ben Azai bezarg, Ben Azai agrees when you throw something, that that's not like ka'aymed. When it's going through the airspace, it's not stopping. When you put your foot down, so you're constantly stopping. But maybe we should be concerned, even within Dalai Lamas, that we should be geyser this gezeira that you might drop it, because then you might come to throw it from the area of Rishus Rabbim over the airspace of the skufa straight into the house, and thereby being over on the iser, and we shouldn't allow you to be geyloi even within Dalai Lamas. So one thing you could prove from this is that ein mezark in kisrei kodesh. One is not allowed to throw kisrei kodesh svarim. And therefore, again, ultimately, there is no reason for chashash when it's within Dalai Lamas, as we said, because it's since the iskufa is a karmelis, and therefore there's no isser of bringing in haitzah or achnasa from the Rishus Rabbim to the area of the iskufa, which is a karmelis. And since it's not more than Dalai Lamas, you're not going to be transporting a Dalai Lamas in Rishus Rabbim. And also, there's no concern of bringing it from the Rishus Rabbim straight through to the Rishus HaYachid, because we're going like Ben Azai, at least according to this interpretation, and that whenever you stop, whenever you're walking, that's considered like you stopped on the karmelis, so it's not going direct. And regarding throwing, that's not a concern, because one is not allowed to throw svarim, so there's no concern of having it going from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYachid. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah, that we said, so the case that we spoke about up until now was the first case of the Mishnah, when you're reading on the iskufa, which we had a machlekes regarding if that was the iskufa of Rishus HaYachid, or was it halacha of a karmelis. But then we had a three-way machlekes in our Mishnah regarding if someone was reading on the top of a roof, where there we said that the person, if it gets within a certain area, according to the Tanakhama, within 10 tefachim from the ground, one has to turn it over on the letters, and he's not allowed to pull it back. So the Gemara first asks, on that actual halacha, that in, let's say it's like the Tanakhama, that you can't pull it back, and then you turn it over. Well, Mishari, are you actually even allowed to go ahead and turn the sefer upside down and have the letters facing downward? But by the time we learn the Braisa, Kaisvi Svarim Tfilin and Mezuzas, those that write Sof Sefri Taira, parchments for Tfilin and Mezuzas, we did not make it permitted for them to turn the urea, the parchment, upside down on its face. In other words, to protect the letters, that the dust should not settle on the letters and ruin them. Rather, what you should do is, if you want to protect it from getting dusty and ruining the letters, the words, is to put a garment over it and thereby protecting it. So how can we say that you turn it upside down if we find you're not allowed to turn it upside down? The Gemara says, Hasam Efshur. There was talking about that the person, the cipher, the scribe, he's sitting there, he has the opportunity of covering it with something else. That's what he does. Hachalei Efshur, here we're talking about where it's not possible, he doesn't have a garment to cover it. And therefore, V'iloi Apach, it can be Zayin Kisar Kedesh Tvei. And although you're right, it is disgraceful to turn the sefer upside down. And that's why you go ahead and you cover it with a different garment. But here, where you don't have a different garment, it would be more disgraceful for it to be laying out there in the open than turning it upside down. So now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah said that regarding this halacha and the opinion of the Tanakhama, when the sefer goes and it's from the Gag and it reaches within 10 tefachim of the ground, which is the airspace of Rishus Rabbim, then we are concerned again that one might come to totally drop it and bring it back, which would be possible chiv chatas. So then we say, as we just mentioned before, that you turn it upside down, that the letter should be facing downward, that it shouldn't be laying out in disgrace. But the Gemara has a fundamental question. V'holeinach, it didn't land. And therefore, there's not even a shvus over here. And that is, since there's no hanacha, again, it's in the airspace of Rishus Rabbim, fine. But it didn't land on anything. And therefore, even if it wouldn't be held one side in your hand, let's say you totally let go. And for some reason, it's there hanging in the airspace. There's no hanacha. And if there's no hanacha, there's no akira. To have an akira, you have to have it on something. And therefore, what is the concern? Up until now, we had assumed that these isurim of rolling it back, which definitely is not more than a shvus is drabanim, because you're holding on to it. Therefore, it's considered in the area where you are, but we're concerned, where you might totally let go of it, not just one side of it rolling out, you might totally let go of it, and then you might come to be over on what? This case, even if you would totally let go of it, it still would not be any Yisr because it didn't land on anything. So you're not going to become to have a Chiv Chatas. So this can't not be a Shvus. I'm not making a Shvus for a Shvus. In other words, there's no reason to make, when we make a Yisr Drabbana is because you might come to an Yisr Derai. So we say, oh, but Drabbana, we don't let you do this. So therefore, I could understand if it landed on something in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, which is in within 10 Tefachim of the ground. So then, if you would totally let go of it, it would be in Rosh Hashanah and it would land there. Now you would pull it back in. Oh, you're doing an Akira from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But here, where it's just within the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, what's the big deal? Even if you would totally let go of it, hypothetically, that it would stay in the airspace, you still wouldn't come to an Issa Deraisa of Achiv Chatas of pulling it in from Rosh Hashanah to wherever you are on the top of the roof of Rosh Hashanah. And that the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbah. Because we're talking about a slanty wall. And that is since the bottom of it sticks out, so it's resting on this part which is sticking out, and that's why, although it's coming downward, but it's on that bottom part, so it is resting in Rosh Hashanah. That's why if you would totally let go of it, it would be a Issa Deraisa. That's why even if you're holding on to it, we say that we're Chayshish, we're Geizer, that you can't pull it back. On that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaya, Bamaya Kimtel Masnin, how did you just explain our Mishnah? Because the Mishnah, you said, oh, the reason why is that it did land is it's on a slanty wall. Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. Rabbi Huda says, Afela Eina Masulik Min Ha'aretz. His opinion is not like the Tanakhama. He says, even if it's a little bit removed from the ground, Eilam Aloha Chot, even just the space of a thread, of a needle, that Goy Laloi Etzla, you could pull it back to yourself. But the question is, the way you just described the case conceptualization, but it actually landed, because he said it's a slanty wall. If it landed, now what's the difference? Why did he say he's concerned if it lands? And that's why he says, just a little space, it's still okay, but if it would touch the ground, it would be a problem, because he is concerned for this same Issa as a Tanakama, not like Reb Shimon, who's not concerned with the Shavuos, when it's B'makom Kisser Kedesh, but it actually landed on the wall. So what's different between the wall and the ground? It should be a problem, even according to Reb Yehuda. On that, the Gemara answers, Chasuri Mechzer B'Hachiktani, that there are words missing, and this is the way it has to be read. B'medvam, when did we say that it's forbidden to draw it back, and rather you turn it over? This, the Tanakhama says, is B'Kaisel Meshupa. That's when, as we had just explained the case, is when it's a slanty wall. But these are the words that are added on to understand what Rabbi Huda was arguing on, because Rabbi Huda does not argue on such halacha. When it's actually on the slanty wall, he would agree, of course, that it landed already, and you can't pull it back. Aval, however, continuing on Talmud Beis, Bekaisel She'ena Meshupa, by a wall that's not slanty, so then the Tanakhama says, and this is what we didn't have in our Mishnah, is that it depends. Lamala Mishloisha Goylo Etzla. If it's still above 3 Tefachim from the ground, again, it's not landing on anything, then you could draw it back, because even though it's in the airspace, as we explained before, hypothetically, if you would totally let go of it, this still would not be a Chiv Chatas, because it didn't land on anything. Lamata Mishloisha, however, the Tanakhama holds that if it would be within 3 Tefachim from the ground, then we would consider 3 Tefachim from the ground is always considered like an extension of the ground. Then it would be as if it did land. Then, Haif Chalak Sav, then the Tanakhama is what he said. That's when you turn it over on the writing. But again, that is the case that we're adding on the Chasur Mechser. And on that is what the Mishnah quotes later, that's what Rabbi Huda is arguing on. Rabbi Huda Omer, Afila Eina Masulik Min Ha'aretz V'chula, that even if it's within 3 tefachim from the ground, but it didn't actually touch the ground, then you could still draw it back, which the Gemara explains. The reason is, be'in hanocha gabi mashu, because it has to land on something. And that is, even though it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, which is an extension of the actual ground, however, that's not enough, like the Tanakhama had said, which are the words we added on, for it to be considered as if it landed, and thereby that if you would totally drop it, would be the chiyuv chatzis, and therefore we're concerned even when you're holding on to it. No, it has to actually touch something. But on this, the Gemara asks, if this is how you're just adding on the words, and you said this is what Rabbi Huda was arguing on Tanakhama, not on the case of when it was on the wall, because then Rabbi Huda would agree. But in this halacha that Rabbi Huda said in Masechta Shabbos Naf Kofim and Aleph, that Toich Shleisha L'Rabbanan, when an item is within 3 Tefachim from the ground according to the Rabbanan. And this is the Rabbanan that argued Rabbi Kiva over there Masechta Shabbos regarding halacha called Kluta Kemisha Honcha, that when something is in the airspace, it's as if it landed. That over there, the Gemara quotes that if someone's throwing something from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, going through a Rosh Hashanah, if it's within the airspace of 10 Tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah, The Chacham argued in Rabbi Akiva, and they say we don't say that since it's in the ear space of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's as if it landed in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore that you would be chayiv. No, they say that even if you threw it, even lower than three tefachim from the ground of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as it's going from Rosh Hashanah Yachad to the other Rosh Hashanah Yachad through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you would not be chayiv until it actually touches the ground. Or if it got burnt, or if it got swallowed by a dog, it only would be if it landed on something. So Rava said over there that this halacha of within three of the Rabbanan, tzarech hanacha, they say, as we just explained, that it has to actually touch something, even if that space is not four tefachim wide, as long as it's a mashu, but it has to actually land on something. Now, that's obviously talking about lower than three tefachim, because above three tefachim, if it landed on something, it would be pater according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Akiva, because the Manav Shach, if what it's touching higher than three tefachim is four tefachim wide, it would be a karmelis. And if it's not four tefachim wide, it would be a makam tur. So therefore, we're talking about below three tefachim, it has to actually touch something for one to be chayv. That was what Rava had explained in the opinion of Rabban, who argued in Rabbi Akiva again that there's no klutik kamisha huncha, and even within three tefachim from the ground, it has to land on something. So therefore, the way you just described the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakam of a Mishnah, lemi ketanoi amal shemaita, it sounds like that Rava's interpretation of that Rabbanan would be dependent on the machlokes tanoim. That's because our Tanakam of our Mishnah, he says that even if it doesn't land on anything, he still says that this gezeirah would apply if it's within three tefachim from the ground, as we just explained. And the reason being is because sometimes you might not be holding on to it, it might totally drop. And now that's difficult, because according to Rava, even if it wouldn't be held on in your hand, but such a case where it didn't actually land on something, Rava says you would not be chayiv, even though it's in the airspace, if you would bring it back before it actually lands. So therefore, it sounds like we have to say that Rava is totally in the machlokes tanaim, because the Tanakam, the way we're saying it, obviously, he's holding not like a beard, that it doesn't actually have to touch anything as long as it's within three tefachim on the ground. So therefore, the Gemara revises what we amended in the Mishnah. Elakula Rebbe Yehuda, rather the entire Mishnah, there is no Tanakhama. It's all Rebbe Yehuda, but Chesur Mechster, and the words are missing, and it's Bahachikhtan, this is the way you have to read it. Bameh Devil Mamun, when did we say, even according to Rebbe Yehuda, that you go ahead and you turn the letters over, because of Meshuppah, where it's on the slanty, well, where it landed. As we said, we agree in the case where it's slanty and it landed on something, because if you totally drop it, you would come to Achiv Chattis, and therefore he is Geyser. In a Meshuppah, but on a wall that's not slanty, where it's not laying on the wall, a Philippachis Mishlesha Tvachim, even if it's less than three Tvachim, Goyla Etzla, you could still pull it back. Again, as he said in the Mishnah, as long as there's even the space of a needle or of a thread, you could pull it back. She Reb Yehuda Omer, and that it's not another opinion. Rather, as Reb Yehuda himself says, that afila ainim esulik min haaretz elam aloy hachod, goy letzla, you could pull it back to yourself. Now, my timer, what is the reason? To be in hanocha gabi mashud, which was Rabbis halacha, which everyone agrees to, and that there is no Tanakama arguing on this concept. Rather, because it has to land on something. But again, the main principle in these two cases of what we're describing with the chesur mechser and the Mishnah, whether it be a slanty wall or a straight wall, is it has to land on something. Because if it doesn't land on something, then even if it's within three tefachim or whatever it is, one will not be liable for, even if we were totally to drop it from the Isra of Hachnasa, of bringing from Rishas Rabbim to Rishas Yachid, because it has to actually land on something, as Rabbi had explained in the opinion of Rabban over there in Masechta Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again on the topic of Eitzah, but towards a concern of the Isra of Eitzah. And that is, the Mishnah begins, Ziz Shelefnei Chaloin, a sill, like a plank, a piece of board that comes out in front of a window, which it sticks out from the wall at a height of 10 tefachim, and the sill itself, this plank, has a width of 4 tefachim. So the halacha is neisten alav, those on the second story, those who have their window open to this board, to this windowsill, they could put stuff on it. V'noit l'menu b'Shabbos, and they could take stuff off from it into their home on Shabbos, because it has the halacha status of Rishas HaYachid, and therefore it's an extension of the home that they're in. So the Gemara asks, "Hai ziz de mapik lehecha, this sill, this board that's coming out of the house, which is out of your window, you can put plants down there, whatever it is over there. What's it extending into? Ilim de mapik l'rishus harabim. If you say that the home is open to a rishus harabim, and that's where this protrusion is coming out to into the public domain." But why do we let you then put things on it and take things in from it on Shabbos? Leichish, we should be concerned to make a gzeir drabbanon and say it's forbidden. Dilma nafal v'asla tuyi. Maybe it's going to fall off from the sill. and then it's going to fall into the Rishus Ram. You might come to then get what you need and bringing in from Rishus Ram to Rishus Hayachid, which sounds like a legitimate concern because it might fall out. So therefore the Gemara says, El Demapig L'Rishus Hayachid. So what do you have to say? That the sill is over Rishus Hayachid. In other words, it's you have a home, which is generally in the Chatzar, and that Chatzar has a status of Rishus Hayachid, and Peshitta, and obviously you're allowed to go ahead and use the sill because you're in your own estate, in your own Rishus Hayachid. Sama Bai Abai says, La'olam in truth, Demapig L'Rishus Hayachid. We're talking about that it extends over in the Rishus Hayachid. However, so then what's with the concern of that you're allowed to put stuff on there, but we should be concerned you might come to carry it in from Rishus Ram to Rishus Hayachid when it falls. So he says, Umay noisna lav diktani. When we said in the Mishnah that you could actually put stuff on there and we're not geyser, that's kelim haneshbarim, those are vessels that break. In other words, we're talking about earthenware and glass that if they fall, they're going to break. Where there's no reason to be concerned. You might come to bring it in because anyways, it's going to break and shatter, so no one's going to bring in the shards. So that's why we're not concerned again because it's talking about those types of vessels. As the Gemara Satana Mehoch is similar in the Brice like this, that this ziz shalefnei hachloin, this sill that's in front of the window, hayoyt l'Rishus Ram that's overlooking Rishus Ram, as we just conceptualized the case, nois nilav ka'aris, you could put on it this sill, plates, bakaises and cups, kitonias, pitchers, vitzlochias and flasks, which all these types are vessels that break, because generally they're made out of earthenware. So therefore that's again exactly the case as we just described it, and that's why there's no concern. Then the Brisa continues, u'mishtamish b'cholak kaisel, you can utilize the entire wall, and that is, if this ziz is along the length of the wall, along the entire length, you could use the entire ziz along the entire wall. However, that's ada sara tachtein. That's up until the ears, that the height of the wall within 10 tefachim from the ground. In other words, no matter where it is, whether it's near right near the window or far from the window, as long as it's not within 10 tefachim from Rishus Rabim, you can use the ziz. And the imyesh ziz echad lamatim imendo. If you have a ziz, you have a sill that's lower from your window, but again, higher than 10 tefachim from the ground, then mishtamish, but you could use the lower sill along the entire length of the wall, that is, no matter where it is. However, the Braisa does qualify, ube elyon, but however, if you have a sill that's higher than your window, then ein mishtamish ba eli keneged chaloin. Then you can only use it if it's opposite the space of your window. So the Gemara asks, hi ziz, this upper window, this upper plank, this upper protrusion, this sill. Gemara wants to understand, hey chidam, what's the case talking about? Why is that different than all the other things that it could only be opposite where the window is? Idelas biarba, if it doesn't have a thickness of 4 tefachim, samakam pturhu. So you're right, it's an exempt area, but then afilik keneged chaloinin namalei yishtamish. Then even if it's opposite the area of your window, even then you shouldn't be able to use it. Now, as Rashi explains, although it's a makam tur, and as we had said elsewhere in the Gemara, that you're allowed to go ahead and adjust your bundle or whatever it is on it, because anything that doesn't have 4 tefachim width is permitted for everybody to use, whether from the people of Rishus Ram can use it, the people of Rishus Yachid could use it. So therefore, what should be the problem? However, the problem is that you can't use it for constant usage. And that is, since it's not fit for usage, and it happens that vessels will fall off from the sill to Rishus Ram because it's very narrow, it's not 4 tefachim wide. Now, although we said that it's talking about vessels that break, so therefore what's the problem? So let it fall down. I'm not going to come to bring it back up anyway. That's only when it has a width of 4 tefachim, where it's not so common for it to fall. But here, where most of them are going to fall because it's very narrow, it's going to seem like, and this is the problem, as if you threw directly into Rishus Rabim, which that's a problem. And because of that, it might look like you're throwing it into Rishus Rabim because things are constantly falling down. People are like, hey, this person is transporting things from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Rabim. So therefore, what's this case of this is? If it's not 4 tefachim wide, so then you should never be able to use it, even if it's opposite the window. And ve'i is be'arba, and if it does have a width of 4 tefachim wide, which then it could have a status as Rishus Hayachid, and there's also no concern of it falling then bekulei ha'kozel l'tam, then you should be able to use it along the entire length of the wall, not just opposite your window. So why about this upper ziz? Is it only opposite the window? So Abai Abaya says that you have to say that the cases are the tacht in the isbe'arba. When we said the lower ziz you could use anywhere along the wall is because it does have a width of 4 tefachim, and that's why it's always permitted, as we just described. However, the elyon les be'arba, the upper ziz that we're talking about does not have a thickness of 4 tefachim. However, And therefore, we said if it doesn't have a thickness of a tefach, it shouldn't be permitted even by the window. However, v'chaloinoi mashli masai l'dalet. However, his window, his sill by his window, completes that protrusion, that board, to four tefachim. And therefore, keneged chaloi mishtamish, opposite his window, where then we can view it, then he can use that sill. Because the chari chaloinu, then we consider that that sill, that is an extension of his window sill. In other words, it's an extension of, and together it will have a width of four tefachim. However, the high gisa also, but on either side of his window, when it's not opposite his window, it's going to be forbidden. That's what we meant by the upper one can only be opposite his window, is because it doesn't have a thickness of dal tefachim. And therefore, since it doesn't, it shouldn't be even permitted by his window. But even though it doesn't have dal tefachim, but his does have dal tefachim, and therefore, if you look at them together, it's an extension as if of his windowsill one, and that's how you can use them together. So we view it as if it has dal tefachim. Oh, it has dal tefachim. Then you can use it, but it only has that dal tefachim by his window with that extension of his own windowsill, and that's why only there you could, but on either side you cannot. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission. Again, continuing on this theme of this parak of the halachas of Hitzah, of transporting something from one domain to another domain on Shabbos, which is forbidden. So the Mishnah says, "Oymir adam mishus yachad." A person is allowed to stand in rishus yachad, that is, in a house or on his roof, and bend down umitalt l'bishus rabim, and then carry things in the rishus rabim. That is, he could pick up an object in the rishus rabim and move it to another spot, or bishus rabim, he could be standing in rishus rabim umitalt l'bishus yachad. He could bend over the fence into the yard and then carry something in rishus yachad. As long as when he's in Rosh Hashanah, bending over his fence into the public domain, and he's moving one thing from another, as long as he does not move it for Amos, which then you're going to be chayiv on the Isser of Hitzah, of Havah, of Rosh Hashanah, you can't carry it more than for Amos, it's okay. And the Chiddush that is telling us is that we're not geyser, that you might come to bring it into the area where you are. So as long as you keep it where you are, and that is to the area where you're leaning over to, it's okay. You could be in Rosh Hashanah and play with things in Rosh Hashanah. You can be in Rosh Hashanah and move things around, as long as it's not Dal Ramas, because then you're transporting something for Amos in Rosh Hashanah. And the Chiddush is, if you're not concerned, you're going to come to pull it in to the area where you are. However, the Mishnah does say, a person cannot stand in a private domain, Rosh Hashanah, and then urinate into the public domain, because then essentially what he's doing is he is transporting something, his urine, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And similarly, Rosh Hashanah, Yash Rosh Hashanah, he cannot stand in Rosh Hashanah and urinate into the Rosh Hashanah. He's also not allowed to spit his saliva. Again, that would be transporting the spit from the domain that he's in to the other domain. Behuda says, even a bigger chiddush regarding this isser of transporting spit, he says, Af mishenitlash roikei bepiv, even when the saliva has already been rounded up, so to speak, and was already out of where it generally is, and you have a whole pocket of saliva in your mouth, then lo yahalach arba amas atchirk. Then you can't even walk 4 amas. You're walking in the street, but then you have this whole bunch of saliva in your mouth. You cannot go ahead and walk 4 amas until you actually spit it out, because now it's already considered a masli. It's a load, something that you don't want to have, and therefore you're transporting, albeit in your mouth, this saliva for 4 amas. Therefore, once it's already out of where it generally is, that's already considered a masa, and you would have to spit it out before you walk 4 amas in Rosh Hashanah. So now the Gemara quotes a different version of what our Mishnah's halacha was. Our Mishnah said, we're not concerned for this thing. You could stand in one domain and move things around the other domain as long as you're not doing any isur. Masni le Rav Chinina bar Shlem Yelachia bar Rav Kamei de Rav. His version of our Mishnah was, lo yamer od mishas yachad metal mishas rav. A person is not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah and move things around in Rosh Hashanah, again, because that he does, his version says that we are concerned, you might come to bring it in where you are, and then be over on the Issa deraisa of Haitzah. So Amalei, so he said to him, what do you mean? Your version is Shafkis Rabbanan of Avid Kerem Meir. You're leaving the Rabbanan, you're leaving the majority, and you're doing like Reb Meir. And that is, Reb Meir is geyser. He is concerned you might come to bring it to the area where you are, as the Gemara later on will quote on the Kaf Aleph Amid Aleph, that a person is not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah and open up something in Rosh Hashanah to take the key in Rosh Hashanah and open the opening that's near Rosh Hashanah, because then he might bring it into the area he is. That's Reb Meir that says it, not Rabbanan. So your version is being like Reb Meir. Why are you doing that? Why don't you have our version, which would be like Rabbanan, which would be better off than Reb Meir? We continue on the Tav of Tzadi Tezim Aleph. However, Reb Chanina, who suffer, he held the Sefer Meir from the fact that the Sefer, in other words, the later Mishnah, the one that's coming on, is Reb Meir, that it says his halacha, you're not allowed to open up from one domain to another domain. So Reish Nami Reb Meir, so he assumed that since the later Mishnah is Reb Meir, so our Mishnah, which is the one before it, is also Reb Meir, and that's why his version said that you're not allowed to do it because that there is that type of a concern. However, the Gemara concludes, Wallahi, it's not true. Sefer Meir, Reish Rabbanon. You're right, the later Mishnah is Rameir, but our Mishnah is Rabbanon, and therefore it is like our version, our gears in the Mishnah, and that a person is allowed to go ahead and reach over from one domain to another domain and move things around, and we're not concerned that he's going to bring it back into the domain that he actually is.